Hello and a warm welcome. I'm Armin Trost, professor at the Furtwängen University in Germany, and this is my series on human resources strategies, a real master course for advanced HR students, professionals, and executives. This series is available on YouTube and on all podcatchers like iTunes or Spotify. All slides that support this series are available on my website. For more information, please read the description to this YouTube or podcast. I'd also like to refer to my book, Human Resources Strategies, available at most online bookstores. So, again, thanks for listening. Have fun and gain valuable insights into the fascinating world of HR strategies. So, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about employee retention. And this is a very special topic, I would say, because when you look into HR, HR department, then you're going to find very often head of recruiting, there is a head of compensation, there is a head of training and development, but I have not yet seen a head of retention. And even though you might have one, I would wonder what this person is responsible for, head of retention. Even though that's a problem that could be really well calculated in financial terms. What does it cost to lose one single employee? We're going to talk about this. The problem is really clear and you can really measure it. So it's very tangible, right? So, but still there is no one responsible for that. Why is that? Because very often we think, well, retention, that refers to always almost everything. And there is the idea, do all the other things well, and then you have no problem about retention. We compensate the people well, then the people stay with you. Be an attractive employer and the people will stay with you. Have the right leadership quality and the people will stay with you. Have training and development set straight and the people are going to stay with you. So we can talk all these different chapters through that we were talking about in this series. And assume, okay, if you got these things well, then retention will not be an issue. So why having a dedicated function for retention? And this idea, of course, is reasonable. But still, when it comes to retention, there are some strategic decisions to be made. Very often, these strategic decisions are not really strategic decisions. They are more kind of views on the topic. And really, when you look at companies, how they deal with retention, there are various views, okay? So after I have outlined the problem and a more general idea about retention, I will go into two opposing views on retention. So here's the question. Who are those employees in your organization that you do not want to lose under any circumstances? Who are they? That's a good question, really. And I've seen many companies that ask themselves exactly this. Have a group of managers, have a group of supervisors, executives, and let them jointly think about, okay, among those 100 people, among those 1,000 people, who are the 10, who are the 20 that we do not want to lose by any mean? Whatever you do with them, it's a different story. And however you think about them when voluntary quitting, okay, that's a good starter. And a good idea might be to have a certain kind of risk analysis. I mean, this is not rocket science here. This is just having a kind of a flip chart or something like this and say, okay, people who voluntarily leave might lead to certain damages. Let's put it that way, a damage. I mean, you have on a certain position, you really have an expert or something. And let's say John is a real expert in something that is really critical to the organization. And you know, if you would lose John, that would be a tragedy, really. You could lose many others, but please do not lose John. He's a real expert in something. Oh, Susan, she's the general manager of a very important division in this organization, and she really made such a difference to the organization. If we would lose her, that would be really traumatic. So whenever things turn out to be traumatic for the entire organization, we name this strategically critical. There's a high level of strategic relevance. We were talking about this. You don't want to lose these people, okay? So damage is really high. While for other people, okay, you might lose them, but okay, replace them. It's an easy deal. So that also refers to what we were talking about when we were talking about talent acquisition. There are these scenarios of simple hiring. If you lose people that refer to this particular need, well, okay, you lose a person, a pity, hire another one. but for some other cases, that's exactly the opposite. And maybe you have a feeling about the likelihood of voluntary turnover. You think of Susan, does she have the intention to leave? You better know this. However you know this, we're going to talk about this. There are various ways how you could know this. And sometimes it's just a feeling. Sometimes the likelihood you see is very high that a person going to leave, and sometimes the likelihood is seen as being very low. So if you have people where the damage caused by voluntary turnover is low and the likelihood is low, that does not matter. Okay, but the opposite case would be a person where the damage caused by voluntary turnover would be significant, and likelihood is also significant. Then you might face a problem, and this is a simple risk analysis. Risk analysis always works like this: you look at the likelihood and you look at the damage, right? So this is what you might do. Okay, now let's think about Susan. The risk of her, the likelihood of her leaving the company voluntarily might be seen as medium or high, because she has so many options, and she gets a call by executive search consultants every day, and she might earn much more in another company. She's mobile. If you see this, and you know, if she's going to leave the company, that's going to cause significant damage, what will you do? How do you deal with that? And, you know, here is a way to look at retention. And you might think about your own organization. You might just think, okay, what is the view that we share on employee retention in our organization? How do we think about this matter? And I will start now with one view, and then I will share with you another view. So in this episode, I will not differentiate strategic statements. I will show you an overall picture, right? So in one view, you might say something that is very commonly shared: people join companies and leave bosses. In fact, when you look at regression analysis, it's a multivariate statistical analysis where you have multiple independent variable and one single dependent variable. And this one single dependent variable is the turnover intention. We also name this a flight risk. So you look at the flight risk. You might ask an employee, do you seriously consider leaving the organization in the next 12 months? You can do this anonymously. On the other side, you ask this person how happy he or she is with various things. And then you can do a little analysis and see, okay, what are the factors that lead to a higher turnover intention? And what you will find then sometimes, and there are various studies around this, and you will find that the immediate supervisor plays a role. And it's not too wrong to say that if people are completely unhappy with their immediate supervisor, that they have a higher intention to leave. But if you truly believe this saying, people join companies and leave bosses, then you put the responsibility for turnover in the supervisor's shoes. You are the manager. You are responsible that your people stay with you. Is that what you want? Is that how you see things? Is that the manager's responsibility? You can even go further. Is it the responsibility of the organization to retain people? Really? I mean, we're going to see a different view in a minute, but that's at least one way of doing things. And very often, we find in companies that they do exit interviews after an employee voluntarily quitted. So let's say Susan quits, and then she will invite you to do an exit interview. And the question will be, oh, Susan, why did you leave? What were the main reasons? Where will you go to with your new employer? What will be better than with us? And then you do all these things, right? And the idea behind exit interviews is that you want to understand the reasons why people leave. And you do it post hoc. You do it after the people voluntarily quit it. You do it afterwards. And, well, okay, might be a good idea, because then you might find areas for improvement. Very often you don't, because people very often do not tell the truth, depending on the setting, of course, right? But, you know, this approach is not really appreciative, I would say. Really not. Really. I mean, it's simply too late. It's simply too late to talk to the people when they have quit. Maybe you would have better talked to them before, right? I mean, imagine. I mean, let's have a situation out of private life. Let's say you are a man and you have constantly relations to women, and the women constantly break up relations. Let's assume this. That always happens to you. Then you have the idea, okay, I have a breakup app. A breakup app, and whenever a woman breaks up the relation, I'm going to ask her to fill in a questionnaire. And ask, okay, why did you break up? Who is your new partner? What is better about your new partner compared to myself? And if you do this, that's not very appreciative. That is another reason for your partner why she broke up. Right? So that's a bad idea. You should better talk in advance. It's too late. But okay, still, that's a way you could go. Some other companies say, okay, we want to predict turnover. It's not that we want to ask in advance. We want to predict things. And for this, we're going to use data and analytics. Yeah, artificial intelligence. You can do this, of course. I mean, you can calculate linear formulas, linear algorithms based on regression analysis again. And maybe with smart usage of data, you can predict turnover. Maybe this algorithm takes into consideration whether you have a new photo on LinkedIn, whether you have just updated your LinkedIn profile. They look at the last performance review. They look at with whom you interact in the organization and to what intents. I mean, with much data, you can look at a lot of things, and maybe there are some data, there are some factors, some variables that might be able to validly predict turnover. You then can do this. Okay, nice. If you do this and you find out that the score of flight risk for a certain employee is high, what will you do then? Will you talk to John and say, hey, John, as a supervisor, hey, John, we just have seen, based on the algorithm, that you intend to leave. Is that true? Will you do this? I mean, sorry, is that what you want to do? Would you do something like this in a relation? Would you do that with your partner? Having an algorithm telling you whether your wife or your husband is cheating you, using some indicators. Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Right? Some companies really say that only a low turnover rate is a good turnover rate. Of course. Yeah, I can see this. Because, I mean, you have invested in people. They learned in your organization. They have attended maybe some development programs and much more. And then they leave. Well, okay, this is expensive. And we know from some analysis that losing one employee is at least one time the annual salary, and the more qualified the employee is, the higher is the factor. It could be that losing one employee is 2, 3, 4, 5 times the annual salary. So, and the cost is not only the hiring costs that now emerge, or the onboarding costs, the development costs. There are a lot of also intangible costs that go along with voluntary turnover. Really. So it's expensive. And of course, I can understand that companies say we do not want to lose people. Yes, of course. Absolutely. But you don't want to have a turnover rate of 0. You don't want to have this. So as we're going to see, losing people is not always and only a tragedy. It could also be a chance, you know? And from what I see, there are some companies that do expect loyalty. And that's very often a cultural thing. So group cohesion in those organizations is very high. The people really want that the others, they are strongly committed to the other team members and to the team as a whole. This is how we define group cohesion. So, and if there is a strong feeling about the group identity, if somebody is leaving, that's a message to all the others that there is something better out there. And you don't want this, but also for business reason, you don't want to people leaving your organization because they take their knowledge with them. And maybe they take some secrets with them. And the problem is that you cannot format their hard drive. You can't. Luckily, you can't do this. Right? It's simply not possible. So, right? So some would really say all those people that leave the organization voluntarily, these are traitors. And we're going to ban them. So if you leave, okay, go. We don't want to see you again. You traitor, right? It's a cultural view on this thing, right? And those companies who think that way very often try to build invisible walls, right? They by saying we want to protect our people, we build walls to protect our people. In fact, they build walls to protect themselves. And so they train their managers how to deal with executive search companies when they call in. Right? Maybe some companies forbid their employees to have a profile on LinkedIn or something like this. I mean, that would be extreme. Maybe that might not happen, but some companies would love to do this. Right? Some companies would never post pictures of their employees on the website. Never, because they want to protect themselves. And some companies have the value that you do not go to any conferences or so because, I mean, you might find another opportunity at another company. It's a cultural thing, you know. It's a cultural thing. And so what I just have outlined is a view on retention. You know? The responsibility is with the bosses. They are supposed to keep their people. And when they leave, you do exit interviews afterwards. Or you might use data analytics to predict turnover. And you want to keep turnover low. And you expect loyalty. You protect yourself. You build walls. I mean, you can translate this also again into a romantic relationship. I mean, if you want to retain your wife, you can do all those things because I'm responsible to retain my wife. Maybe. Is that really you? Or is it the relationship? And when she's quitting, I will ask afterwards. Then I will talk to her. Right? I maybe use data analytics to track whether she's going to cheat me or leave me. Yeah, I want to be with her for the rest of my life. That's the only way to go. Yeah, and I expect really loyalty. Yeah, really, I expect this. So, and I also protect walls. I protect myself. I don't let my wife go out in the evening without asking me. So, you know, this is a way to look at things, how you retain people, right? You feel it. And of course, there is the opposite view. And the opposite view is to say, no, it's not the manager who is responsible. It's the system as a whole. The social relations matter. And that's a crucial point, by the way, because, I mean, when an employee is leaving the organization, again, this employee will earn money in the other organization, of course. In the new employer side, he or she will earn money. He or she will have a cool job there as well. He or she might have a company car as well. We'll also have a nice office. So a lot of things he or she will going to take with him, so to speak, right? Or a lot of things will not change for the person. But there is one thing that will definitely change. One thing, really one thing. And it's you're gonna leave a social system. That is something that you will not take with you. And when you join a new employer, you have to build up the new relations. So, and that's a very interesting point of view. If the people feel that whenever they quit voluntarily, when they leave the organization voluntarily, they gonna lose friends. They gonna harm some social relationships, some long-term relationships. And that's, I think the social relationships among people, not to the boss, among the people, that's the strongest retention factor. Yeah. If you have a high level of group cohesion, if the people appreciate each other, if you have a strong exchange, if you have strong networks, if the people think in a horizontal way, then they probably have a lower intention to leave the organization. So you better focus on that one, right? It's not the manager, it's the social environment probably. So it's the question on what you want to focus on, right? And you can assume that when people leave, these are adults. We know that sometimes people leave a company spontaneously. They do not go somewhere, they flee from where they are. And this is not a very elaborate, this is not a very mature way of leaving the organization. Mature people, grown-up people, they know what they do. And the only thing is that you want that the people are clear about why they leave. And you say, I don't need to know why people leave. The people have to know why they leave. And they must have reasons. And if they have reasons, then it's okay. That's absolutely okay. And there should be no surprises. I want to know whether I, the team, the supervisor, or whomever, I want to know whether somebody has the intention to leave. I mean, that's very bold. But why not? Why not? I mean, you must not take these things personal. You have the idea that people leave, and that's okay. And you do not have the expectation that the people are going to stay with the organization for the rest of their life. So why not talking about these things, right? Well, why not? You know, it's bold. And sometimes there is some inner force in us. We hesitate to do something like this. It feels like cheating if you say, "Well, I intend to leave." Yeah. Maybe you would not say you intend to leave, but you intend to go somewhere else. And of course, you must not always ban the people when they leave. Very often, with every person who is leaving the organization, there is a chance. I mean, these people who leave the organization, they might be future suppliers. They might be future customers, right? And maybe they come back at a time. So you might have a boomerang offer and saying, okay, you're going to leave. But if you want to come back in a period of next 2 years, you're always welcome. So it would be cool. Because if you're going to leave the organization and you come back, you bring back some learning. It's cool. And there's a strong message to the other people for those who come back. Right, so I mean, I worked for many years at SAP, and there is a strong alumni network. It's cool. So people get together, and you are still welcome. You feel that you're still part of this extended SAP family for the rest of your life. That's absolutely cool. And most of us are partners of SAP, are customers from SAP, suppliers from SAP. And absolutely cool to have to maintain this wider ecosystem. Okay. And there is this fundamental understanding that people leave, and that's okay. That's okay. It might hurt. Of course it does. But it's okay. Yeah? You don't own the people. They are free. So, yeah. It's a way how you look at these things. And that goes along with an idea that you find in some modern companies saying, we retain people by letting them go. We tell the people, you can go at any time. I met a company, IT company, they already in the interview asked the people, what will you do when you leave afterwards? What is your intention to do in, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years? And if a candidate says, well, I want to stay with your company for the rest of your life, you would say, no, you don't. This is not something that we want. So you will share your time for a period, for a particular phase in your life, but nobody here expects that you stay with us for the rest of your life. Probably that's not a good idea anyway for you and not for us. So what are your long-term plans? How can we accompany you for the next phase in your life? and what will you do afterwards? There are even companies that support the people who leave. I heard about Amazon. They're paying 5,000 euro for every employee who is leaving. So you get a kind of quitting bonus, so to speak. I'm not sure whether this still applies. I heard this on a conference in Warsaw a couple of months ago, that they do this. And that's a smart move. So when people leave, they get a bonus. They help them find a new way. That's a strong message. It's the message you can. It's okay when you leave. It's okay. And this message sometimes leads to the fact that people stay. So it's a different way how you look at retention. Yeah, people stay with people. It's the social system. And when they leave, they must know. It's not that we as a company to know why they leave. They have to know why they leave. We hope that they make a mature decision. And anyway, that should never be a surprise, because we very openly talk about these things. And when the people leave, there's a chance in it. Yeah, a lot of chances. And then it's okay. It's really okay. It hurt, but it's okay. And anyway, we let them go. And sometimes we even support this. So what is your view? What is your way of thinking about retention? And I think that's pretty much strategic, how you think about these two directions. Okay, so that was it about retention. Many thanks for listening. See you. Bye.